It's in our nature to worry.
Kind of. I mean, there's always something to worry about.
You believe that stat that everyone always throws out there?
Which one?
85% of what we worry about never happens.
93% of stats are made up on the spot.
Is that true?
I just made that up on the spot. I mean,
yeah, but it could have been.
This guy just fell off the boat.
No, it could have been part of the 7%.
It's part of the bit. And every time you do the bit, you throw out a different number. You know, 81% of all stats are made up on the spot.
Well, that's what I want to track. How the hell can someone tell me that 85% of what you worry about never happens? You don't know what I'm worried about.
Fair, and different people worry about different things. What time is it? 3:20 is a risky time to say this, but I happen to live with somebody who I would say 99% of the things that she worries about doesn't happen, but she worries about 1,000 different things, which means about 10 of those things actually do happen.
I got a mom like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark.
You want to know what happens if there's nothing to worry about? She worry about the fact that there's nothing to worry about. Yep.
Can you help me fix my phone?
She's out there looking for stuff. Looking for things to worry about.
I know somebody like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
that's that whole deal of like, we got to be at the dentist. When's the appointment? 3. When are you leaving? 1:00. Why? Because something could go wrong. Like, what happens if you get there at 1:15?
Well, you know, we'll figure it out.
Like, I wonder where you are on that, because I do think that a little bit right now about the 49ers season, not all of it. I'm not going to sit here and blue sky this for you. They're out there on the market trying to find pass catchers with 10 days until they're a game, and they're like, you? What about you? You ever run a route? You get in here. That's all true. But this hand-wringing about health, the Niners are like, I couldn't have asked for them to be this healthy at the start of the season. Tell me who the big, massive, oh no, he's hurt is. Who is it?
Well, there really isn't one. And some people will worry about the fact that you're going to have guys get hurt.
Well, of course,
and that's a reality of it. And 2 years ago, your main core guys, they didn't get hurt. Last year, a lot of them got hurt. So I usually don't worry about things like that are out of your control.
Totally out of your control.
So as a fan, what am I worried about? I'm a little worried about the wide receiver core and having their maybe the ability to get open. Guys can actually, you know, separate. Last year, you were last in separation. So I'm worried about the receiving core. I'm not worried about much else with this team, to be honest.
Yeah.
I like the running backs, even if McCaffrey misses games. The quarterback, if the quarterback misses some games, Mac Jones, I'm not thrilled, but he's capable.
It's better than it was last year.
Sure.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I hear a lot of things where I'm like, all right, you know, I mean, you might be right, but I don't think that you have a rational worry of that. And there are narratives that are just flat out untrue. The Niners are decimated by injuries right now.
They're not.
No, they're not. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know.
There have been weeks in camp where like, oh, he's not available. Who gives a crap?
Yep,
there's
camp.
No game this week. There's no game. Yes, Brandon Ayuk's hurt. We knew that. Malik Mustafa's hurt. We knew that. What else? Juwan Jennings. Give me a break. Not hurt. Feelings are.
Yeah, his calf. He's got a calf.
Okay.
Who knows?
You want to know? Can I throw that? And then we're going to go to the phones. This dawned on me today, and it's nobody's fault because it's a little intricate based on the way the conversation all went yesterday. But a lot of you might have been with us or heard what John Lynch had to say, right? Remember all the stuff? Here's the update on Jennings.
So Juwan's still working through his calf issue, making progress. We're kind of like everyone else, hopeful but not sure, you know, on week one, and we'll proceed as such. And so we're working to get the best mix out there. We added a piece today, and you know, in MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and thrilled to have him part of it. And, you know, we move forward.
Eric Branch, Johnny on the spot, goes, okay, Johnny, okay, Juwan's hurt. But we can assume that once he's healthy, he's playing, right?
Well, there's a lot that goes into that, Eric. You know, ideally, everybody has a training camp. Everyone's out there. You know, that's a perfect world. But, you know, he's been putting in work to the side, and we'll have to make that judgment when the time comes. You know, the other thing is both things can be true. You know, he wants a new contract, and he's got a hurt calf. So I think people want to assume one or the other. Both things can be true.
Okay. You want to know what I want to ask him now? Yeah. I didn't think of it until today. But if we're going to go down this road, John, and you're going to tell us that you still have a calf injury for Juwan, and it is lingering to the point where 5 days ago, Kyle Shanahan's like, he'll be ready by week one, and now you don't know. And this thing has been going on and on and on for the entire month of August. Wouldn't that concern you about signing a player to a new contract if he has a calf injury that you can't figure out? Similar to, like, I mean, if this thing's a real injury, we're getting to McCaffreyville. It's time to do some, we need to do some PRP, man. Yeah. We need to send him to Germany and get this mystery figured out. So the question would have been, hey, John, he wants a new contract. Is that discussion being affected by this lingering, mysterious injury?
That's a great question.
I would have loved to hear John work his way through that answer. I don't know what he would have said.
He probably would have said, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to give you privileged details about the negotiation, the conversations we're having. It's really none of your business, Mark.
Well, no, it is. Actually, we're covering the 49ers here, John. And I mean, like, are you concerned? I would think you'd be concerned this injury won't go away. And I know calves are tricky.
Tricky, very tricky.
But at a certain point, they're also concerning, aren't they?
Very concerning. And is it such a concern that it's affecting the contract negotiations? Have you backed away from a deal because you're so concerned about the calf? Or is the calf so minor that it has no bearing on what you're trying to do?
Right. Or are you just like, we're not talking about a contract under any circumstance, health or not?
We're not doing that.
Yeah. Like, I would have loved that answer. But, we weren't there. Let's go to Dave in Fresno. Hi, Dave. Thank you for calling Willie and Dibby.
Hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Bill, you posed a question, if there's any concerns. If you're a Niner fan, you kind of discussed the injury aspect of it. But, yeah, I mean, for me, there's a lot of caveats. The caveat of your 37-year-old left tackle. Can you stay upright for a majority of the season, not the full season? Your 29-year-old running back who's older and who's coming off an injury of his own, you're depending on him. Is your quarterback, is he more 2023 or 2024? I guess we'll find out. Your kicker, who is going through whatever he's going through, is he okay between the ears? That's these rookies that we're depending on. How fast are they going to, get up to speed here? Just a lot of caveats. And right now, they're just a team of filled with more questions than answers, in my opinion. And, we still got to play the games. Maybe we answer those questions when we get on the field. But right now, I don't feel really confident, going into this season. A lot of things need to go our way. And it's just the reality of the situation we are in. It's not to say that we can't achieve our ultimate goal, which is obviously the Super Bowl. But a lot of things have to go our way. And when you're a team in that position, you get nervous. So, I'm hoping for the best, but yeah, there are legitimate concerns and a lot of it's out of our control, but hopefully, like I said, when they start playing the games, and then also too, Brandon Ayuk, everyone says he's going to come back healthy, but we went through this last year with Greenlaw and CMC. When we get those guys back, everything will be just fine. We don't know until they actually come back and get on the field. So again, those are, my concerns, and those are the caveats that you got to worry about.
That's fair.
Dave, thanks.
Concerns and caveats. You're always going to have concerns about players you've never seen before, rookies and guys who are being thrust into the starting lineup. And, Aaron Banks no longer at guard, and so you're going to have new players over there, and you hope that your O-line is better. For me, there's different things as to concerns as opposed to real worries. Like, you could be worried about the kicker, and I think you are actually probably concerned about the kicker, but For me and Jake Moody in particular, I'm not that worried because I do know if he's bad, they're going to make a move. It's not like they're going to stick with him all year because he was a third round pick and, okay, he's 4 for 9 on field goals and he missed a game winner. No, we're not keeping him just because he was a third round pick. I do know that. So am I worried for Jake Moody? Yeah, I'm worried for the young man because if he gets replaced, that's him and his life. But for me as a Niner fan, if you replace the kicker, you're probably going to find somebody who's not worse, so I'm not worried about it.
Okay, I mean, I guess at a certain point, we start playing with different verbiage, right? Like, if it's not, if he's not good, they're going to replace him. Some people believe, well, he's already actually given you that answer, and you haven't replaced him. That's some people's opinions, right? And so, like, look, I've gotten to a point where, okay, I accept a difference of opinion in this particular case, that the 49ers see something in Jake Moody that at this point I don't. They might be right, and I very much hope they are. If they're wrong, yes, they'll make a move. Then there's also the other stuff. Let me spotlight one thing that Dave pointed out. And so we concoct these questions, and sometimes we're right, and then sometimes I think it's just a product of our perceptions. And he says one of his concerns is if Brock Purdy is 2023 Brock or 2024 Brock. And before I say anything, get everybody all hot and bothered, let me just go live to Dan Dibley and say, hey, Dan, what would Greg Cosell say to Dave's concern about whether or not Brock Purdy is 23 Brock or 24 Brock? What would Greg say?
Greg would say he's probably a combination of the two, but before you go disparaging 2024 Brock, you look at the dropbacks, as I have. I'm Greg Cosell, and I thank you. I looked at every one of his dropbacks, and what I saw was a quarterback who was decisive. At times, he fled the pocket too early, but when given some time, he was able to make the throws necessary. And if you want to go to the Aaron Schatzes of the world, who is the creator of DVOA and FTN Fantasy and all the rest of it, the numbers for Brock Purdy on yards per attempt, yards per dropback, expected points added, and all the rest, he was top five, top seven in every one of those categories. So I wouldn't mind if he was 2024 Brock Purdy.
There you go. There you go.
I mean, 2023 Brock Purdy was a 97.5 out of 100.
Yep.
The year he had. 2024 Brock was probably an 85 out of 100.
At least.
Yeah, I'm going to say 85. And Greg is right, and we've heard this from Brock himself. He, at times, was trying to do too much.
Yep.
At times, he fled the pocket too early because, you know, the pass rush was coming, and instead of hanging in that extra second and letting the play develop, he was, you know, going rogue and running around back there and doing things out of character. So even if you give him an 85 last year, you take an 85 out of 100.
You can win with it.
If you have a better defense and more around him, you absolutely can win with that.
You can win with it. But I sort of accept that from Brock Purdy in terms of what it was we saw that maybe we didn't like last year and how we processed it. And I'm not going to ask anyone, you, me, or anyone listening to this show, to be able to pull this apart the way a Greg Cosell or a Brian Baldinger tape watcher does, because there's so many things happening on a football field, and we're just sitting there with nacho cheese on our lap going, my fantasy team's up by two. Like, that's all I want us to do. We've earned that.
Yeah.
We get to Sunday, just be stupid and turn the TV on. That's all I do. So we've earned that, and that's fine. But when we watch Brock drop back and throw a pick, we'll go, oh, you dummy, where's 23 Brock? And what Brock has basically stated is he, I think, agreed with a lot of you, which is that, oh, this is different. I don't have Christian McCaffrey. I don't have Brandon Ayuk. This is different. The world wants me to step up and be a dog. It's time for me to show everybody that I put the team on my back and not be a game. So he lets y'all get to him. And he started trying to do Brett Favreian things, which is huck that ball through a garden hose or take off and use his legs maybe earlier than he needed to. And did that lead to what looked like a still good but not a great year? I kind of accept that. And what Brock has said, I spent all offseason doing, it's almost more mental than physical, is, hey, stupid, we have a good team. I have a good coach. These are good play calls. Keep it simple, stupid. Drop back, hit the spot. Don't try to make too much happen. We can outlast this opponent if we just do those things. I think that's his focus this year. I think it's a very, very good focus. But you don't need to worry about whether or not Brock Purdy's good. Brock Purdy's good.
He's good enough, and whether or not he's great or elite or tier one or all the rest of that nonsense, do you have a quarterback who can make the plays necessary to win football games? Yes, and you've seen it before. Last year, that was not the case, and it was a total system-wide breakdown. This team relies on complementary football more than almost any other team out there in that you need a good defense to keep your offense able to run the ball, give your offense a lead. You're not built to come from behind. And so last year when you had a defense that couldn't get off the field, it did put undue pressure on the offense.
I wonder about the word expectations, though. Like, I'm fully on board with everybody who says expectations this year are not as high as they were last year. I think that's just natural. They were in the Super Bowl. They almost won the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't expectations be through the roof? But should they be that different, knowing what we know now? I'd love to. Can we explore that a little bit?
Yeah.
Should the expectations be that different? In other words, let me ask this question. I do think there are some answers, but I wonder what everyone thinks. Where are the 49ers markedly worse this year than they were last year? Where?
Probably the receiver. The receiver room would be markedly worse. I mean, running back, no.
Markedly
offensive
better,
line,
I would argue.
We'll see. Jordan Mason, I mean, I guess we didn't know how good he would be, and he turned out to be great. Can Brian Robinson be Jordan Mason? You would figure.
No, but you have McCaffrey this year, and you didn't last year.
Right. I thought you were saying going into the year.
No, I mean, like, go ahead and grab what we know, now. Like, sure. Your expectations last year were what they were, but then it played out, and we have all that information. Now blend that with what we think we know. Obviously, there's a journey that's about to unfold, and there could be all kinds of things around the corner. But I want to know that. Like, where are the spots that you think the 49ers this year are worse than what we know they were last year? I'll give you an example. I hear a lot of people go, oh, they're so young on defense. Right, well, they were terrible last year on defense.
Right.
So the only thing that they could be is even. That's the worst thing that could happen, is that the 49ers are as bad
this
year.
They could be worse. Because they were not bottom of the barrel. I mean, they were 28th.
On run defense, they were.
Right, but overall defense, I think points allowed, they were 28th. So there is a little room for them to be worse. But to your point, yeah, I don't think they could be worse. Could the special teams be worse? I don't.
Probably not.
If the kicker's worse, you're getting a new kicker.
Yeah.
You already have a new punter, and you got a new long snapper, and you have a new special teams coach. So you would expect that to be better. The offense was slightly better than mediocre last year. So can the offense be better? Well, you would hope so.
You'd hope.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. The wide receiver room in the moment is like, oh, that looks a little, it looks a little thin, obviously. However, bunch of different things can happen as this unfolds. I don't know what's going to happen with Juwan. I do know that if this all goes the way we think it's going to go, you're going to acquire DeMarcus Robinson for week four. You're going to probably acquire Brandon Ayuk at some point. Also, Ricky Pearsall starts the year as a much bigger part of all of this. Do you think he's going to be good? Do you think he's not going to be good? Everybody gets their own opinion there. I certainly think he's going to be good, but to me, that's almost like a little bit of an upgrade of one position. You didn't really have him, certainly not at the start of the year last year. But I'll buy that. The wide receiver position, at least the first month of the season, is a downgrade from where you started last year. Give me the other position. I don't see it.
Yeah, not really.
I mean, don't see any other position on the field that this year stacks up as potentially worse than what we know happened last year.
Maybe safety. I mean, if you want to look at the safety spot, because you've got, it's a little still unsettled on who those guys are going to be. And, you know, at this point last year, you felt better about who you had coming back, I think, than you do right now.
But were they good?
Turns out they weren't great.
Yeah,
no.
That's like, so again, it's like, yeah, let's take the questions that you're worried about. You go, okay, what if it doesn't go well? Well, then you're going to get exactly what you had last year. So it's not going to be worse.
Probably not.
I mean,
yeah.
Jair Brown was not very good. I didn't like his year last year at all. Did you?
I'm not in particular, no. But, you know, he's in a spot now where I don't think that the safeties that you have are necessarily proven commodities. So can they be better just because you've got Robert Saleh? That would be my expectation, yeah.
Like, Saleh's presence alone, to me, says this year's defense is going to rate better than last year's defense, even if you got some pops out there.
Yeah. It's interesting as you look at this year and expectations and how some people are thinking that you shouldn't have the same high hopes. Last year, they were the second favorite to win the Super Bowl. They were plus 600. Their over-under for wins was 11.5. This year, their over-under is 10.5. And I know the schedule this year is easier, but as far as expectations and the betting markets, they expected them last year to be 11 or 12 wins. They weren't. Sure. Okay, 6-11. Boy, they must plummet. They're down one win in the markets. So now the markets are looking at it and saying, you should win 10 or 11. Last year it was 11 or 12. So even after everything we went through, roster turnover, two coordinators out, new ones in, an old guy comes back, and all those changes, is it a rebuild? No, it's just a reload. It's a reload, and we expect you to win 10 or 11.
Mike Florio was on the morning show. Here's what he said about expectations.
Things set up well this year for the 49ers. Number one, the expectations are lower than they've been, probably since 2021, the year after they most recently had a season that was derailed by injury after injury. And the schedule is much more favorable this year. Outside of the division, all four teams of the AFC South, all four teams of the NFC South. And when you compare Rams' first place schedule to 49ers' fourth place schedule, there's three games where there's that deviation. And that's the benefit you get from finishing in fourth place. Three of your games are, in theory, unless those other fourth place teams from last year are a lot better, those are easier games than what the defending champion has to face. And that alone, where the margins are so tight, the playoff spots come down to a win here, a loss there, the division title can go all the way down to the wire. Those things benefit the 49ers if they can be healthy and if they can stay healthy.
Sure, there you go, health. And
the big if every time.
I mean, you get to throw that on the back end of every NFL team out there, every single one of them. And I get it that Niner fans, we have the right to be a little triggered by that because seemingly it's we're often one of the most injured groups in the league. But outside of that, you can tag that on the end of every single NFL team.
No doubt. And, you know, Mike Florio is kind of right about expectations. They're still high, and you have to go back to 2019, the last time the 49er preseason win total over-under was not double digits. And in that year, their over-under was 8 wins. They went 13-3 in that season.
Yeah.
And every year since that, it's been 10.5 or 11.5.